Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk sex, coffee, and fast food. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
All right, you guys, welcome to Fit Club. Yeah. I am excited to be back. Yes. I was on a little vacation.
Welcome back. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back. Get fit again. Yeah. You know how vacations are.
Oh, to hear about that.
Yes. Yeah. I did work out the first couple of days.
Good, good, good.
And then it just went all downhill from there. But that's okay. I'm back researching.
Can always reset.
Exactly. Yeah. Reset. Learn some new ways from our stories, our topics that we have today to continue to stay healthy and fit.
Yeah.
And how was your time last week? We had a guest.
Yeah, we had a great guest, Jasmine Leyva, and she's got a great film about going vegan and I want you to watch it.
So, yes, gotta see
we'll
it.
We'll definitely have to do that together. But yeah, awesome guest.
Yeah. All right, you guys, thanks for tuning in again. I'm your host, Fallon Mercedes. You guys can find me online at Fit with Fallon. And Shaka, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Okay, so we have some great topics for you. Sex, coffee, and fast food.
Yeah.
Everybody loves those topics, right? The first one we're going to start with is coffee.
Yeah.
Now, there are studies that show that more coffee can lead to a longer lifespan.
Yeah.
And I found this kind of very intriguing because, I mean, I've always been a fan of coffee, especially black coffee. However, I see a lot of people in the industry who, even today, I bought all my trainers, a big Travelers, you know, that you buy at, like, Starbucks.
Yeah.
And a lot of my, I don't drink coffee. Uh-huh. They usually do the green tea route because they think that coffee can be bad for you. But this study shows us something different. What does it show us?
Yeah, I mean, this was really just more of the same. There's been so many studies that have shown the benefits of coffee, so it's surprising that people aren't on that train. But there were two studies, one that involved 520,000 people across 10 European countries, and another that was 185,000 people. This one was interesting because it was across races as well. So they got African American, Native Americans, Hawaiians, Japanese Americans, whites, and Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that people that drank 2 to 4 cups of coffee had an 18% lower risk of mortality.
Dang it, I drink one cup of coffee.
Oh, I gotta up it
I gotta
now.
Up it now.
Have them in the morning. And it was so effective against heart disease, cancer, respiratory disease, stroke, diabetes, kidney disease. And in the European populations, it was liver disease, suicide in men.
I found that one very interesting.
Cancer in women, digestive disturbances, circulatory disease as well.
Why do you think the suicide in men?
Well, for me, coffee gives me a buzz. Like, so it does make me, I guess, happier.
Yeah.
So I could certainly see that you might be depressed. Your energy levels are low.
Lower.
Yeah.
And that's true. Everybody, when they go to work, they're like, I need my cup of coffee.
Yeah, and once you have it, you're kind of like, oh, okay. You know?
That's so true. Very interesting. And I like the study, too, because, you know, they realized that diversity through the different lifestyles, you know, it showed across the board. It was a positive effect. So it didn't matter how even you made your coffee. I know, like, Latinas or Latinos, we do a lot of black coffee. We'll do sugar. And then a lot of Americans, they want tons of cream, tons of milk. So I would have thought there would have been, you know, differences between the way you make your coffee. But even so, as long as you're getting those cups in, you're going to have a better...
it's lowering your mortality risk.
Exactly.
Yeah, but and of course, if you're loading up with sugar and cream, you might be taking away from some of that lowering of the risk. So.
And I like that the study closed with saying that there are no long-term harmful effects from drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And I like that because I feel like, you know, some people, you drink green tea, but do you drink coffee?
Yeah, I drink coffee almost every day. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. And then it also kind of dived into... you know, well, for me, I cannot drink coffee past a certain time.
Yeah.
Even if I only drink one cup a day, if I have it past 2 o'clock, I'll be up.
Yeah, so that if you're caffeine sensitive, you gotta make sure you have it the right
time. And I think
that's
why I only have one cup of coffee, is because it's kind of like a little too much. Just like exercising and pre-workout, if I have it, you know, too late, usually past 2 o'clock, I will be up all night. And it's kind of similar to one of our other stories that we have for you. What's the best time of the day to exercise?
Yeah.
And this study shows that you perform better later in the day. And I found this very, very surprising.
So many of our fitness people in the industry love to hit that morning workout, especially with the fasted cardio.
Yeah, and it gives you energy through the day. So why is it telling us that it's better for later in the day?
Well, essentially it deals with our circadian rhythms. So it takes a while for your body to essentially get warm. Mm-hmm. And then apparently later on in the day, you have a different sense of the energy you're putting out. Mm-hmm. So it seems it's not as strenuous later in the day. Mm-hmm. I think it's sort of like your body wakes up.
It's warming up, yeah.
Exactly. And so by later in the day, your body's sort of ready for that real intense physical activity. Mm-hmm. But what it did find was if you are consistently working out in the mornings, then you do get the same benefits as if it was later on in the day. So your body will adjust. So it's really about the circadian rhythm. But if you're going to be taking one-offs and doing different workouts mm-hmm. at different times of the day, you might want to wait mm-hmm. later if you're not having a consistent time.
Yeah, and I know it talked about the strength and flexibility, they're greater in the late afternoon, but did it go into detail about, cardiovascular endurance?
Well, yeah, because it also talked about fasted cardio. Mm-hmm. Again, it's showing no difference in weight loss between groups that did fasted cardio and groups that did no fasted cardio.
That was interesting.
Yeah, and I have long said this. It doesn't matter. And mm-hmm. in fact, it might hurt you if you're, really starved and mm-hmm. need to eat. Yeah. And they did the study with not just young women, but they also did it with obese women as well. Mm-hmm. And it found no change in the weight loss from both groups.
Yeah, so I think really it should be listen to your body. When you wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. Do you need time to warm up or can you hit the ground running? Same thing with food. Do you need to eat before you work out because you won't feel good? Or, will it be the opposite? You might feel sick if you eat before your workout. Yeah. Do you eat before your workout?
Oh, of course, yeah. And for me, I've always almost long believed that fasted cardio in the long term might actually slow down your metabolism. Mm-hmm. So that's why I do that.
I tend to find with myself and even my clients, we do better, I don't know if it's a female thing, but we do better doing fasted cardio, but eating before strength training.
Yeah. Have you tried a shake before the cardio?
Yeah.
And it's still, or you didn't feel well? Or?
I just don't feel like I need anything. I don't know what it is. I'm just not, I don't eat big breakfast anyway, period.
Yeah.
I'm more of a right before, a pre-lunch, lunch.
When you're doing your fasted cardio, is that first thing in the morning?
First thing, within the first hour of waking up.
Really? Okay, mm-hmm. And you're having nothing but...
Usually, I won't eat. It's weird. I will go to the gym 6-7 in the morning, get ready for work. Then by 9 o'clock, I'll have my first, 10 o'clock, my first coffee and a bar or a shake.
And you've experimented with having the shake before the cardio.
Yes,
and
I have.
And you just felt weak or what?
It just felt too heavy on my stomach. I don't know what it is. I think my stomach needs to be completely empty. I don't know. It's weird. You guys out there, what do you prefer? Morning cardio or exercising later in the day? Do you need to eat before a workout, or do you prefer doing fasted cardio? We'd love to hear what you guys have found works best for you.
Yeah, and they also found it didn't interfere with sleep if you worked out later in the day, too. Mm-hmm. I know some people have that concern that if I work out later, I might be too agitated. But they mm-hmm. there was a study where people worked out 2 hours before their sleep, and a study with seniors that worked mm-hmm. out between 7 and 8:30 p.m., and they found no change in restfulness.
You know what it is? I think it affects people's sleep when you're taking coffee or pre-workouts right before.
Yeah.
Then yes, because that is still in your system. But I think the workout itself, it's not going to affect your sleep.
Yeah, so the short and long of it was do it according to your body. Know when your body's ready for a workout. And if you can stick to a certain time, that's the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. And, faster cardio or not faster cardio, what works for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another story that we have is trying to find peace through mindful running.
Yeah.
Now, I've noticed all of my coworkers, friends who are marathon runners, long distance runners, they find running very therapeutic. I have a very close friend of mine when her mom passed away. That has been her tradition she never saw a therapist and it was very, a tragic event in her life. But her therapy is doing marathons. And I struggle with that mental component. I think that's why I like sprinting and doing weights because I do believe that there is a huge mental component in running. Are you a runner, Shocker?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I like to run. I like to usually I run a mile before my workouts, but if I feel like I've, you know, gone a little too crazy with the food, I'll run 5 miles and just kind of like get into that zone.
I can do a mile, but those 5 miles, I have to be like hiking or like something that's stimulating my mind. But just regular running, especially on a treadmill,
once I have good music,
no music, you're done. I can't even do the workout. But there is a program called, I'm looking at the wrong one. There's a program called Running with the Mind.
Yeah, and so it's all about that mindful running and checking in with yourself. And I guess they have a sort of four prongs that go along with mindful running. The first one I thought was really interesting, notice your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're checking with yourself to know if you're thinking positively or negatively. Because you probably start off thinking negatively, I hate this run.
It's going to give me shin splints. I'm going to be in pain for days. I could burn more fat doing strength training. All those thoughts go through my mind.
And so once that happens, you want to go to like check in on focus on your breath and your body. So be really present, because then you have to be – it's all that mind-muscle connection I always talk about is – Once you're present in your body, it changes the way you look at things. It shifts things. Mm-hmm. And then third was let the goals be loose. You know, the goal should be about having fun and enjoying the run. Mm-hmm. So once you make that a goal, then everything else becomes a little bit more secondary, especially if you're competitive. I know a lot of athletes are so competitive, they get lost in the goal setting. And then last was competitors are your friends. So if you have a running group, this particular running group that this guy was involved in, they ran the pace with the slowest person. So everyone decided, however slow the slowest guy wants to go, that's the pace we're going to run because this is supposed to be fun and it's supposed to be healthy and fit and working
out.
But
I wonder if it was really fun for the people who are fast. They're like, oh, I got to slow down.
I think you go into the group knowing it's part of the deal. And so you're going to like, you know that I'm going to enjoy this run because maybe I get to go slower today because I'm not, you know.
Yeah, you don't have to push yourself as hard. Yeah, I like this. I personally never have done a run group, but it is on my list because I know I do not have a love for running. Yeah. So maybe one day.
Maybe before the competition, that'd be great to like join a little run group. And I think that would be huge for getting in shape for the show because it's something you don't do. Exactly. So once you always do something you don't do, results are very good.
And especially here in LA, they have so many cool ones, like hundreds and hundreds
Neon
of people.
At night
exactly. There was even one that my friend was kind of, she ran it literally and figuratively. But one day she coordinated, because she worked for like a sneaker company, she coordinated some singer or rapper. They had him on a truck, and he did a free performance for the run group, and the run group ran after
behind
the truck.
Him, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, so.
So that, all in keeping it fun.
I mean, how entertaining is that? Yeah. You get a live concert while you're running.
Yeah, so. If she starts to group up again, I'm in.
I know, I'll let you know.
Sounds cool.
All right, so many people have asked me this, especially guys. Can exercise improve your love life?
You got a lot of questions on
that. Has it improved yours?
Well, I've always exercised. I've never had any issues. Yeah. So I guess so in some ways. But yeah, of course it makes sense. It would improve your love life, your stamina, your flexibility, your strength.
And I've seen in both men and females, you know, females who have a high body fat percentage, they have a harder time conceiving. Yeah. And I would assume it would affect, you know, their sex life. And then for men, I've even seen it where being so overweight for a man will put them in male menopause.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a real thing. Male menopause. Yeah. It means, you know, their sperm level is so low that they basically cannot produce until their body fat goes way down.
Yeah, and on top of that, they're saying it's like a natural Viagra exercise. Mm-hmm. If you're exercising consistently, men that do so have very low erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. They did a study with sedentary middle-aged men. For 9 months, they worked out, and they found after that period, they had more sex, improved function, and greater satisfaction. So it's working. And then they did an interesting study. Tell me how you feel about this one. So they they had women exercise, and then they had them watch an erotic film, and they measured their vaginal blood flow during the erotic film.
How do you measure that?
Special tool measured the vaginal blood flow, and the group that did not exercise before the film they had a lower blood flow. So,
well, it makes sense because it's like, you know, you're getting the blood flow going. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, the pre before the.
And then they also found that people have an enhanced self-image when they work out. Yeah. They feel better about themselves, the way they look. They feel more sexually desirable.
Yeah. And I see it all the time. I can always tell in a gym when a woman comes in and she's working out, if she's been working out for many years or is just starting out. Majority of the time, women especially do not like to look in the mirror when they haven't, they don't want to look at their form. They don't want to look at their body. Women who've worked out consistently, you see them standing up, looking at themselves, taking checking selfies. Their form, taking selfies. Yeah. Exactly. Lots of selfies. So it makes sense that it would improve self-confidence.
Yeah. And I liked, you've heard the whole thing, you know, don't have sex before a competition or this or that. Like, you know, a lot of athletes subscribe to that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting. So they also wanted to test that, the flip side of it, if that was like a bad thing for athletic performance. And they did grip test and they also did a cycle test. And they found that having sex before those tests did not have any, there was no difference in performance with those that didn't.
Yeah.
The only thing they did find was in the cycling group, their post-recovery, their heart rate was elevated.
Yeah. You know what I think, too? I think a lot of coaches, they like to tell their athletes not to do that. I don't think it's a performance thing physically. It's a mental performance.
It might be a mental
thing, people, you know, if their mind is somewhere else instead of focusing on the game. Yeah. So I think that's the real reason why they don't want you to have sex.
But if your partner's in the stands, it might feel you.
Exactly,
you know?
Right?
I can't wait till this game's over.
If you win.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. I didn't think of it that way.
And some people have asked, is sex actually an exercise in of itself? Can I skip the gym?
Yeah.
And they're saying, so, you know, sex burns about 3 to 4 calories per minute.
Yeah. But let me tell you this.
How long?
It depends, you know, if you're on top, on bottom, you know, if somebody else is doing all the work, you're not going to burn much
calories. That is true.
Sorry, guys. This is like rated RX Fit Club tonight.
But, you know, it's all in the name of fitness.
I've had people tell me they will wear their heart rate monitor.
Just to see.
You know, just to see how many calories they burn and how, you know, elevated their heart really gets.
I'd be interested in hearing like, what's the average. But
we'll have to look up that stuff. But surprisingly, when my clients tell me it's not as much, so I'm like, well you need to put in more work.
Because 3 to 4 calories a minute, and that's like, they did that like moderate. You know, that's what you're burning in a moderate session, I suppose. But most people don't have sex that long. So when they did a study versus. when they did the study versus a group that did moderate 30-minute treadmill, kind of like walking / jogging. People on the treadmill burn 3 times more calories than the sex group.
And because, you know who we should ask? Jason Rozelle.
Oh, right.
Sexercise.
We got to bring Jason back in, our sexercise guy.
We're going to ask him because his workout, you could probably burn a whole bunch of calories. Yeah. That's
so
funny.
If you guys are out there and you're trying to use sex as a substitute for exercise, probably not going to work or really increase your time. Make sure it's 30 minutes to an hour, I guess.
Yeah, make sure to time it. You got to burn those calories. Okay, tell us about a hunter-gatherer diet. Does it really, what does it do to the body in just 3 days? Does it really help the body? Does it hurt the body? Is this a paleo diet or what is a hunter-gatherer diet?
Well, I thought it was interesting. Yeah, so Tim Spector, he's a genetic epidemiologist at King's College. Mm-hmm. So he had, like, I guess, excellent gut bacteria, but he wanted to know, can you change significantly the gut bacteria? And, you know, with this, with Dr. Shamaka, we've talked about gut bacteria and the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. Could you change it significantly by going on this hunter-gatherer diet in 3 days? And again, the gut bacteria does so much. Metabolism, it helps with weight loss, it's mood as well. So gut bacteria is really important for our bodies. And so he went and studied with the Hadza tribe. And
this was a crazy study, by the way.
Yeah.
He, like, went above and beyond.
Yeah, he went to go live with this tribe and hunt as they hunt and eat as they eat. And
what was it, Tanzania?
Yeah. And so the Hadza, and they've been doing this for 1 million years. So their diet hasn't changed. It's kind of what they do. Mm-hmm. And so he had baobab fruit in the mornings. He had wild berries. He had high-fiber tubers, porcupine, and some other, like, furry animals where they ate the liver and the heart. Obviously, vegan can't do that. Yeah. But But he found that after the 3 days, his gut bacteria, which was already very diverse, had increased by 20%. Mm-hmm. And then within a few days after that, it went right back down to its sort of baseline. So I guess the takeaway was to include diverse foods and fruits in your meal plan, because that's going to actually help your immune system jack up. It's going to help the metabolism get in mm-hmm. your mood. So.
Yeah, and I think that's good for anything when it comes to health and fitness. I think you always kind of want to be diverse. You want to switch it up. You don't want to stick to the same exact thing, because I think your body is so used to kind of, like, just like fat, you know, you're yeah. trying to hold on to as much fat as you can. Yeah. So you got to switch up your diet, you know, yeah. like we've talked about in the fast. You will tell me some days you fast
yeah.
and then eat, you know, late at night, or, you know, yeah. you'll do high carb days, low carb days. Yeah. So,
and I try to incorporate a lot of fruit and, like, you know, a lot of vegetables, and that really helps the gut bacteria.
And tell me if I'm crazy, but I actually don't wash off a lot of my fruit.
I think,
because this is my theory. So my family, my dad's side is from the Dominican Republic. And, you know, when I visit them, you know, especially my great-great-grandmother, who she used to live in the Campo, the country, like, you go and get your food and you don't wash it off, because you're not next to clean running water. And yeah. I just think that's how they grew up.
But now that you're here in the United States and you have clean running
water.
Yeah,
but I just feel like, and I think Dr. Shamagas explained this too, is that sometimes some of those things, it's kind of, you know, the good bacteria, the bacteria, your body needs to be exposed to it. Mm. That way you can break. I think if just like, you know, mothers who are super clean and don't let their kids play in dirt, and then their kids, you know, are always getting sick because they haven't built up that.
Yeah,
no, he's not following me.
I might subscribe to that if it's like a plant in my backyard that I'm growing. I pick it, I eat it. But it's not organic. If you're in the grocery store, yeah. it may not be organic. So you pesticides. You want to make sure you wash that off. If it is organic, I don't know who's been touching the food. Oh, I don't want this one.
Oh, and that's true. I didn't think of it that way.
I don't know the guy that sneezed and then picked up my broccoli and put the broccoli back. Yeah. No. So I definitely want.
I don't know. I'm very, like, call me hippie, but, like.
Yeah. I mean, if you're growing it in your backyard, I say go for it. Yeah. But if you're buying it from the store, wash it off.
But what do you guys think out there? Do you wash your fruits and vegetables or no? I mean, sometimes I'll rinse them off, but I'm not like, oh my goodness. The only reason why I rinse some of them off well is because I found, I think it was like a caterpillar in my kale before.
Yeah, and there's even fruit washes that you can get specially to wash fruits.
Or even just using apple cider vinegar, just pouring it over, and then that helps too.
Yeah,
these are fun stories.
Yeah, give them a wash.
Yeah, we learned a lot today. I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about the sex, coffee, and
fast food. Oh, no, we got fast food.
Oh, fast food, okay.
I was like, wait a minute.
Lucky I said that. Okay, where's the fast food one? Where are we?
Oh, there we go. Our 10 rules for fast food.
Oh.
And this is really for your kids. So basically, trying to get your kids to eat healthier and, you know, the dangers of fast food. So we had a couple. So there's the don't leave home without snacks. It's like, seems pretty, you know, self-explanatory. Yeah. Then there was age-appropriate size for meals. Because actually the regular size is usually too much for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they suggest sharing a meal with your kid, and that might actually reduce the portion size.
Yeah.
Always picking the fruit over fries. And no soda. So now all these fast food chains are offering fruit juice and stuff like that. But what I didn't know. I didn't know that fruit juice was, you could limit it. I didn't know it was supposed to be limited. So apparently for kids 1 to 3, 4 ounces a day. No more than 4 ounces of fruit juice a day. If your kid's between 4 to 6, no more than 4 to 6 ounces. And 7 to 18, 8 ounces.
And what I suggest to parents, aunties, uncles out there, grandparents, my nieces and nephews, they always want juice. Always, always, always. Yeah. And it's hard when I looked at this, you know, to say no when they've already gone past their ounces. So a trick is to dilute. You know they're supposed to have 4 ounces, maybe do 2 ounces, another 2 ounces of water.
Yeah.
That way they don't know the difference. You know, that way they feel like they're getting juice every time, and they're not going to whine and complain. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's a really good trick. And then they have the talk to your kids beforehand. Have dialogue. Let them know, hey, here's where we're going to go, here's what we're going to get, here's what we're thinking about eating. Decide on dessert in advance, which I thought was interesting. So you don't make that sort of off-the-cuff decision. But do not – have you ever had the situation where you're growing up and they're like, before you get to dessert, you have to finish that main meal?
Yeah.
So that's a no-no. You don't want to do that, because what it does is it turns the dessert into something valuable that should be prized. and now your kid has to eat the hamburger to have the ice cream, but now the prize of the ice cream becomes this valuable thing.
Yeah. Yeah, more so than the food itself,
And that's something you'll probably carry with you lifelong. Yeah. And then what was the other ones? We had make them sit down to actually eat the meal. That's going to help with satiety. And, you know, if they're playing while they're eating, they may never get that feeling of fullness to, like, really register. And I think we had, be a good role model. And just kind of model those healthy habits.
Yeah. So. And I think, too, really try to work on making healthy food fun. I think, you know, and I see it around so many kids. I don't want to eat my broccoli. No. Yeah. And it's like, okay, why do they have a negative attitude towards broccoli? Yeah. What are they seeing?
Yeah.
I think parents really, like you said, lead by example, but also say, hey, you know, this is going to be good for your body. It's going to make you strong.
Yeah.
And, you know, kids want to be strong. They want to be like theirs. I think Michelle Obama at one point, you know, with her food campaign in the school systems, they had like superhero broccoli. You know, and I think making it fun again, I think will help them enjoy the experience more.
Yeah. And if it's something you don't like and you let that be known, they're not going to like it
either.
Like, I don't like a lot of vegetables.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to certainly model for my kids and pretend I like them just so they can
And
give
finding
them a try.
Fun ways in presenting the food to them. You know, I have an auntie who will always make like, just funky, like, I think it's like Elmo apples.
Yeah.
And it literally looks like Elmo. She'll put, like, awesome. Cut up the apples and put a little, you know, and it's like, of course a kid's going to want to eat that. They love Elmo, you know? Just like Mickey Mouse pancakes. Yeah. Everybody loves Mickey Mouse, except do an oatmeal pancake instead of a real pancake. So.
I'm getting me hungry.
I'm actually hungry too.
I'm starving.
This one was good. I like this too. Yeah. You guys out there watching, thanks for, you know, continuing to watch with us. But let us know too. What do you guys want to learn about? What topics do you want us to dive into? We love researching this stuff. Let us know. Comment, subscribe, give us 5 stars on iTunes. And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Find me online at FitWithFallon or FitWithFallon.com. Shaka, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong. And we are also on FitClubBHL on Instagram.
Yeah. Make sure to follow us. All right. See you guys later next week.
Bye, guys.
Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.